This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Feminism in your ears. It's another broad podcast on Joy 94.9. Keep listening. Hashtag feminism, hashtag podcast, hashtag broad on Joy 94.9.
So this is Sarah Broad here on Joy 94.9, and I'd like to welcome to the show someone very special who's going to be part of the Melbourne Writers Festival coming up really soon. End of August it begins, 27th of August, and the festival runs to the 4th of September. And we have Tasneem Chopra on the phone line to speak to us. Welcome to Broad.
Hi, Jocelyn. How are you?
I'm good. Yes, there's a lot of activities and things coming up, and in particular the Writers' Festival. So the discussion for that, the panel, I should say, that you're involved in, is of interest to a lot of our listeners, addressing family violence. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Look, I don't think it's any sort of secret to anyone who's been paying attention to mainstream news in the last 12 months that the incidence of violence against women, and particularly the rate at which we are losing one Australian woman a week on average, is alarming. It's probably the great, you know, in my estimation and that of a lot of colleagues, it's the greatest sort of clear and present threat to women's safety is violence in the home. And certainly violence perpetrated by people often closely linked to who you are.
Yes, yes. We've had people from our STEPS organisation talk to us about some of those horrific stats, and people who've had that experience as well, obviously affected by family violence. And, I mean, you've got people like Rosie Batty, of course, is going to be with you on that panel.
Yes, I have. And I think what's interesting is it still tends to be a shock to people when they hear the statistics about the rate at which violence is occurring, because it's something that people think is so far removed. Yet we know the rates and the rate of assaults against women and the incidence of just sexual assault or physical assault. If you look at the continuum from the least to the most extreme, you know, maybe verbal assault ending with death as the most extreme endpoint of violence, is something that almost one in three women will experience at some point in their life, in terms of the gravitas of, you know, how minor the assault is to how major it is. So the extent of which, the extent of it is something that we don't really talk about. So much of it gets brushed aside. And in terms of deconstructing how to best resolve it, because we know it's there, I think that's where a lot of the strategies and energies need to be deployed. And it's so much of the conversation centres around changing the way in which we address violence, and who's involved in the conversation regarding addressing violence. And I think that's where I think we've got trailblazers like Ken Lay, for example, who as Commissioner of Police, Chief Commissioner of Police in his time, put family violence at the front of his agenda in a way that really set the bar high for law enforcement across the country as the greatest threat to half the population.
Basically, or actually 51%. So it's we're the majority treated like one of the worst marginalised minorities.
Well, an afterthought, really, in most cases. And until there's, honestly, until there's either a celebrity incident of violence, which is related to footballers, or, you know, Hollywood star, that we'll talk about it. But the extent and the degree to which it is lived reality for hundreds, if not thousands, of women on a daily basis is something that we need to, A, come clean about, and B, have government commit some serious resources towards changing. But as a community, then what can we do? I think having a panel to talk about it is one thing. Going back home and starting from scratch, from the way that we talk to people in our family, and how we have those relationships with them, and how we talk about the importance of respect and respectful relationships, and how that's been a movement in and of itself, which is a really positive thing. I think there's a lot of work to be done.
Yes, I think you're right. But at least now it is starting to become more open. There are more recordings of assault and damage and, you know, harassment happening in the domestic field. But At least the reports are, I guess people are more likely to come forward now. And I think to one degree that's important. You know, that's been an improvement.
Yeah, I think that's where Rosie has been significant because, I mean, prior to her achieving the platform that she has, which has been on the back of the horrific death of her son, she represents, you know, the ordinary Australian, which I think was much more relatable in terms of the gravitas of domestic violence than if it had been a notable, you know, celebrity. Mm. Because that would have still distanced themselves that much more, that much more removed from how you and I could relate to them. So yeah. I think Rosie has, and all credit to her, because I can just imagine, and I read her biography at the moment, and and that's a very macabre way of looking at something that's become a positive, but it's really spun off a very, in no uncertain terms, the greatest tragedies as a parent you could ever experience, the loss of a child. So, you know, she's used that platform to effect change. And kudos to her for doing that. Nobody would want to be in that same position.
Exactly. And it's heartbreaking but so important that she's using her experience and that voice, hopefully to encourage more women to do the same and get help and seek that assistance and protect their families at the end of the day.
That's right.
Now for you, I'm going to jump to you now because we haven't really looked at you yourself and your involvement. What brought you to this particular panel to get involved, Tasneem?
I missed the last part of your question.
Okay. Yeah, the phone's a bit funny. What brought you to be part of this panel, your involvement and your interest in this area?
Look, I think it's... I don't have a specific answer to that, but my sense is that in having this conversation, quite often one of the excuses that people often make towards violence occurring in, I guess, minority communities is that it's culturally sanctioned or it's part of who they are, it's the tradition, it's their way. You know, men behaving badly towards women is not a cultural prerogative of Eastern traditions. It's actually a patriarchal thing that's been going for generations. So I think to the extent in which I'm involved with the Australian Muslim Women's Centre for Human Rights and the work that we do in the space of family violence and the impacts of violence against violence on children in particular, I'm assuming that organisation, the working they're doing in that space, led them to have a representative to speak to. You know, amongst the general issues, which as Australian women we're all discussing, but I guess towards a more culturally specific slant, what are your experiences with DV within that space, and how is it being negotiated with authorities and legislation, and have you made progress, have you made traction with lobbying that we have done over the past, you know, 20 years?
Yes, indeed. This is something that is so vital and so important. And it's great to see you come on board as well to be part of this and just get this discussion happening.
Yeah,
it's important.
I agree. And I think it's important that violence is seen for what it is, which is men's power over women, regardless of where they're from, who they are.
Exactly.
And that there is no justification for violence against women. It can't be touched in any cultural relevancy or economic relevancy. And yet, you know, often we have, as a society, justified it in many ways, from victim blaming to victim blaming to of women, but also of, you know, proffering suggestions and buffering for the male, humanising the male perpetrators in a way that is completely unacceptable.
I agree, and I'm sure many of our listeners will for abroad. But we are running out of time because, like you, I've got to race off to my paid job now.
Oh, okay. So, kudos to you for the work that you do in the community.
And you, thank you. So, people, if you do want to catch and listen to some wonderful women speak about this very serious topic that involves everyone in this country, it is at the Melbourne Writers' Festival. It's Saturday the 27th of August, 11:30 a.m. at the Deakin Edge in Fed Square. It's a really nice venue. Lots of space there, but you might need to get in and book very soon. It's called Addressing Family Violence. It will have writers Rosie Batty, Anne Summers, and the wonderful Tasneem Chopra, who I'm speaking to now.
Thank you, Sonia.
Look, thank you so much for the quick chat.
No, thank you for the opportunity to fit in my time schedule. I know yours is also tight. So
yeah, it's crazy.
I'm glad we got it in.
Me too. Well, we'll keep in touch. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye. Cheers.
Thank you, sisters. You've been listening to this broad podcast here on Joy 94.9. Don't forget to tune in to us Monday nights at 9 p.m. on Joy for feminism in your ears.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.